Greetings, beloved of God, and welcome to New Covenant's online worship service. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio, and it's my pleasure to join you in this virtual space and to welcome back my friend and colleague, Dr. Dana Gillen, who will be teaching today on God's call to relationships. Authentic relationships are vulnerable with give and take and listening and sharing. They are a challenge and a gift. God invites us into deeper relationships with each other and with our Creator that we might grow in maturity, faith, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. As our opening scripture from today's lectionary, I'm reading from the second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 and 11 to 12. Brothers and sisters, we must always thank God for you. This is only right because your faithfulness is growing by leaps and bounds, and the love that all of you have for each other is increasing. That's why we ourselves are bragging about you in God's churches. We tell about your endurance and faithfulness in all the harassments and trouble that you have put up with. We are constantly praying for you for this, that our God will make you worthy of his calling and accomplish every good desire and faithful work by his power. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored by you, and you will be honored by him, consistent with the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. May the songs, prayer, and teaching encourage and enable us to enter more deeply into our identity as the family of God, with Jesus as our brother and our model. Welcome to worship.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground.
Standing Good morning. My name is Nancy, and I want to pray this morning for the Family Fund. This is a New Covenant ministry that makes one-time donations to individuals who are in financial need. The funds we have available to disperse come from our New Covenant tithes and offerings. The members of Family Fund are listed in the bulletin, and you can contact any one of us if you'd like more information or if you'd like to become a member of the Family Fund. Please join me in praying. Lord, we thank you for the money we have in the Family Fund. We thank you for the tithes and offerings that make this possible. We ask that you would guide us as we give and grow us in generosity. We know that all we have comes from you and belongs to you. Please teach us and train us, Lord. We ask for the courage and confidence to give. Help us to live out that courage daily in our spending and in our lifestyles. Father, I ask for your support and your instruction for the members of the Family Fund. It's not always an easy task to discuss and make decisions. We need you so much. Please give us your wisdom and your clarity. Give us compassion and generosity, but also give us restraint and accountability, because we know that the funds we are disbursing come from ordinary people trying to live out a tithing lifestyle. I ask for each member of this ministry that you would grow and nurture us in our ability to manage and perform these tasks, that you would change us where necessary and give us humility to accept these changes and to be molded and into an efficient and peaceable group. Forgive us where we may have made misjudgments in the past and help us to do your will. Into your hands, O Lord, we place all that concerns the giving of New Covenant members and all that concerns the operations of the Family Fund. Trusting in your mercy and your steadfast love, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. I'm calling you Savior, Savior, Lord, my Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others, while on others, thou art calling you.
Do not pass me by.
I'm calling you Savior, Lord, my Savior. Soul, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great then sings my soul, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Oh, oh, how great a heart, how great a heart, then sings my soul, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great a heart, how great a heart, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great a heart, how great a heart.
Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Dana Gillen. I give honor to God, to Pastor Renee, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to talk to you today about the heart's posture. I'd like to start by reflecting on relationships. Throughout the Word of God, we are shown the critical importance of relationships. We first find that God is desirous of relationship with humanity. In Genesis 1, after God created this world, He created man in his image, and thus relationship. In Genesis 2:18, God said, "It was not good for man to be alone," and God made a helper comparable to man. From that point on, we have experienced the highs and lows, the wonders and the struggles of relationship. In Revelation 3:20, God tells us that he stands at the door and knocks. If we hear his voice and open the door, he will come into us and sup with us. From Genesis to Revelation, if we look, we see the critical importance of relationship. Yet to walk in relationship as God calls us to will require us to examine and adjust our heart's posture. James 1, 2 through 4, the Bible reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." This is likely a familiar passage of Scripture to many of us. It is also an appropriate Scripture for the times we live in today. Even as Christians, as this Scripture is written to, we experience trouble and trials. We have a troublesome political climate, financial upheaval, even rising crime rates. But oftentimes, our trials can come from familiar places, relationships. Consider the part of the scripture that reads, "fall into various trials." This suggests that these trials are unforeseen, unwelcome, and we may be completely unprepared for them. Yet, we are encouraged to count it all joy when we experience these trials, because they are an opportunity for growth in our faith and in the production of patience. All of this seems easy to say, but much more difficult to do in the context of relationship. Who of us has not been hurt, harmed, disappointed, dissatisfied, even angered in relationship? One of the most effective tools the enemy uses to distract and dissuade us from relationship with God is our relationship with each other. 1 John 4:20 asks the question, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen?" Yet some of us will say, "You don't know what they did to me, or you don't know how much I've been through." But God did indeed know. And he is compassionate. And he still expects us to count it all joy, to allow this testing of our faith to produce patience, and to allow this patience to perfect us. He does not desire that we yield to sin. The hurt, the pain, the anger, justified. Sin cannot be our option. Sin cannot be our response to our trials. Psalm 51 and 10, the psalmist says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." The Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. Yet David yielded to sin with Bathsheba. David did not honor Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. David did not honor Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. David did not honor his position as the king God appointed him to be. The posture of David's heart was out of alignment with the purpose of God for his life. In Psalm 51, David cries out to God and asks for mercy. David acknowledges his sin. David asks to be restored. Like David, we may not always get it right when we are exposed to the trials of life, when we fall into various trials. We may not respond well in these relationships, but like David, we must turn to God first to reestablish the posture of our heart that we might serve him. There is so much beauty to be experienced in our relationships, yet it is also impossible to be in relationship with God and man and not experience trials and temptations. But there is a righteous response to pain, to hurt, and to anger. We are generally familiar with Ephesians 4:26 telling us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. But we may be less familiar with the necessary behaviors to move us from wrath to righteousness. It is not simply that we proclaim, "I won't be angry because the sun is going down." That's too legalistic. How do we exercise the faith necessary to move to righteousness? How do we stand in righteousness when we've been wounded? Those who will not invite the Lord into that space of harm cannot overcome the harm and execute righteousness. It is the Lord's desire to protect us from the harm of the storm, even when he allows us to experience the storm. How can I walk in rage when I know God is with me in this hard place where I am experiencing harm? I trust him to handle those who mishandle me. I trust him to keep safe that which is precious to me, even when everything around me seems to be in chaos. I am not unaware of the chaos. I am discomforted. It is a press to die daily, especially when I am being harmed. But I trust God and I ask him to help me be still so that I might see his hand. The storm carries us to places we cannot otherwise go. But if we are lost in the storm, trapped in the cycle of responding to each experience with anger, with rage, and the like, we never reach the destination the storm was designed to take us. The experience of the storm is a tool he uses to perfect us. There is a song by LaShawn Pace Rhodes entitled, "If I Were in Control." The lyrics help us see how God uses our trials to position our hearts. If I were in control of my life, I think that I would have worked things out differently. For you see, there would be no hurt, no pain, no disappointment. Of these things, my life would be scot-free. But that just goes to show you how little I know about leading, about controlling my life. For you see, all these things have come together just to make the best of me. God, in his infinite love, desires relationship with us. He also desires that we have relationship one with the other. Our relationships are the source of infinite blessings and a tool the enemy uses to thwart the plan of God. It is our heart's posture that allows us to remain aligned to God's purpose and his plan. O Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us by your generous spirit. Then we will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted unto you. In Jesus' name, Amen.
We believe in God, and we all need Jesus, 'cause life is hard, and it might not get easier. Don't be afraid.
Joseph took his wife and the child, and they went to Africa to escape the rage of a deadly king. There along the banks of the Nile, Jesus listened to the song that the captive children used to sing. They were singing,
"My deliverer is coming, my deliverer is standing by. My deliverer
break his promise. He has written it upon the sky.
My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by.
I will never doubt his promise, though I
this is Melissa Logsdon leading us in today's benediction. Hear our prayers, God of power, and through the ministry of your Son, free us from the grip of the tomb, that we may desire you as the fullness of life and proclaim your saving deeds to all the world. Amen.
To him who is able to keep you, who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God our Savior, and to Jesus Christ our Lord. Stumbling, and to make you stand in